We're in the 10th chapter of Revelation this evening. And again, another wondrous chapter of His marvelous truth and grace. And again, the revelation of His Son. And this is for us. And praise God that He has given us again the opportunity of being born in this age, to be born at this time, that again it can be completely expounded to us. And again, the revelation of the wonderful Lord Jesus, given in inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And we'll begin here in chapter 10. But again, last week and the week before that, in 8 and 9, we have been studying the trumpets. And the trumpets have been loosed upon the earth at this time. The last trumpet that we were studying was the sixth trumpet, which was 100 days before the middle of the week, as it's known, or basically before the last 3.5 years. Again, the tribulation being a 7-year period of time. But the great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, the time of great trouble, will be the last 3.5 years. And that will be representative of the seventh trumpet, which, Lord willing, we will start reading about in the 11th chapter. But again, as with the seals, the Lord seems to take a reprieve right before the last seal, right before the last trumpet. So this is a vision, again, that John has, and such a mighty vision. And I think that it's just a wonder to me every time that he brings us into the Scripture, how, you know, we are inadequate. There's no way we could decipher all of it. There's no way we could begin to approach the Word of God with our mind. But see, it's His great love. And it comes to us through His Spirit. It comes to us because He loves us. Not because of our intellect, not because of what we did today, but purely and truly by the grace of God. So let's get in. All right. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And we'll stop there and we'll examine these first 7 verses before we go on. Now, in that first verse, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, so many, again, will continue to wrestle with the angel. And I'll just tell you, it's if you're going to wrestle with the Scriptures, you're going to just wrestle. You need to believe him. You need to rest. There's a perfect rest. And as Peter said, you know, if we wrestle against these things and we don't let it work effectually in us, and we don't, by the grace of God, stand in the truth, we are going to have issues of understanding God's Word. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's going to come by, again, His Spirit revealing it to us. But this another mighty angel coming down from heaven clothed with a cloud, if you go over to chapter 5, verse 1 of Revelation, we read about this wonderful angel, this angel, and we understand it's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it said, let's go over to 4:1, excuse me. And it said there, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and before a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So this is the one that is sitting on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about his head, about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. This is the same vision, a wonderful vision of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you'll see here that he is coming down from heaven. That he is clothed with a cloud, and the cloud here is representative and so wonderful of glorified saints. We will be with him in glory. By his grace, we will reign with him jointly if we will accept the sufferings in our life. And these are those glorified saints that will continue as those ones that we saw in chapter 6 when the seals were opened. They were the ones that said, come and see. They were the ones that directed this time. They were the ones that said, yes, Lord, if we suffer with you, we will reign with you. Praise his name. And then there was the rainbow that was about his head. The rainbow, again, speaking of mercy. A time when God showed to Noah the rainbow after the floods had ceased. And he said, that rainbow is my sign of mercy that I won't do this to man again. And wonderful that rainbow of mercy was there. Because he said, unless I shorten these days that we're about to see, there would be no more flesh left upon this earth. And then it goes on to say, and his face was, it were, the sun. And it's so precious to know that he is the light of our life. By the grace of God, I know his love for me. I'm the light of his life too. Have you ever thought about that? The joy that was set before him. Know what you are to Jesus Christ. Praise God, that gives you hope. That gives you reason for living. That gives you a purpose in life to know that by the grace of God, he loves you. I appreciated that brother again. I said, what did you get out of Romans 8? I can't be separated from his love. Praise God. That's how he loves us. Now we've got somewhere to start now with that, because now we can grow in grace. And he'll supply the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise his name. But here's this face, as it were, the sun. And see, God will always make things plain, and this light will light up all the darkness. All these things that are coming now are going to come to a head. He is going to rid this world of sin, and he is going to bring out his judgment. And that's the next thing that we see here. And his feet as pillars of fire. Christ Jesus now is coming as judge. As we've mentioned before, praise his name, that we accepted him and saw him as the Lamb. We will see him in heaven by the grace of God as a lamb slain. That's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will come back with him to earth at this time as judge. Praise God, as that's his judgment that's coming out upon the earth. Now verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now back in Revelation 5:1, if you turn there with me, we read about this book. And it said, I saw in his right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, this was the book that John was so despairing, because there wasn't anybody worthy to open the book. And he began to cry and he began to fret. And then the wonderful brother said to him, oh, don't cry, don't fret. Here's the Lamb. The Lamb is worthy. See, this is redemption's plan, and we're going to talk more about that book as we get down in the seventh verse. But praise God, this little book really is a scroll in the interpretation. There is a scroll in his hand, and this is going to be redemption's plan. Praise God. And he set his right foot upon the sea. Now again, as we see this vision of God, of Christ coming to this earth, and you see him here as judgment, you can see that he is coming in different ways, and he's coming in different forms. The very first company that meets him in the air, the bride of Christ, the four living ones, again, they meet him in the air. There's other ones that are caught up into heaven at different times. We've talked about the innumerable multitude. We've seen at this time that the 144,000 will be with him as well. But what a triumphant return, or I should say, as God's Christ's return, as we meet him in the air to be those glorified saints with him. Praise his name. But now he's coming down, and you see that these folks that will be on this earth at this time, they're going to see him in a completely different light. And he set his right foot upon the sea. And that speaks of that he will have his foot upon the earth at this time. He is taking charge of it. And that sea represents again the Gentile nation. And his left foot upon the earth. Again, that speaks of the Jew. Christ at this time is taking full authority. This is the middle of the week. The seventh trumpet is being revealed. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And this is that wonderful Lion of Judah. We read about the Lion of Judah in Revelation 5:5. Again, all of these things, if you go back just very quickly with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not." And this is about that book. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." This angel is Christ Jesus. Do you see, if you just continue to read, if you just continue to absorb the things that God is trying to give us, there shouldn't be confusion. I believe it's very clear. I believe it's very evident that this is our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, precious hearts, that seven speaks of spiritual perfection. What a wonderful thing here. And this is a different company. This is a different group. This is something different. And it's a thunderous voice. And their voices are being heard and they're uttering as thunders. If you think about what is the only group that we're seeing at this time that is really lifting up their voice, praising the Lord at this time, and especially giving out commands. Nobody else except the four living ones. These are the glorified saints again. They're bringing on the judgment. Do you see the precious place that God is offering to us to be that worshiper that will worship Him in spirit and in truth? And this is the right to reign. This is the right to bring out that wonderful joint judgment by the grace of God with Him. Again, I stand in amazement, and I know you do too. I know me. You know, I kind of know you too. And there's just no way that God would ever choose you or me to do all this with Him, huh? I can't even imagine God letting me stand by Him. What do you think? Huh? After what I did today? After what I've done in my lifetime? That's how Jesus loves you. So you got to get over that. You got to get back in that eighth chapter like that brother. Get right back to that very beginning. There's nothing that can separate me. I've done everything for you. You are the apple of my eye. This age, by the grace of God that we're even reading about here, cannot begin until that bride is with Him. It can't start. The ceremony, the procession, the judgments, none of this can begin until Christ Jesus has His bride with Him. It's an important time. Do you see what I'm saying? I made a slight mistake, believe it or not, when I got married. I was going to go prepare things before I was married. So I had the house and it was really nice. It was sweet. I put furniture in there, and I know my wife's smiling right now because she's remembering what happened. And so we got married and we went on our honeymoon, and here we walked into the house. And I know she had to kind of bite her tongue not to laugh of the decorating job that I did. And it didn't last long. It was arranged differently very quickly. Because we were going to have guests in the home, and we didn't want them to have that kind of impression, I guess. But she loved me. But see, what I'm getting at here is that was a sweet gesture. Now, his preparation for us is perfect. But see, things couldn't really begin until we were together. And then it really began. Then we began to get into a relationship of one that continues on today, and it even gets sweeter again under His love. Now, how much more so is it going to be with Him? He's just going to blow your mind. He's going to blow your heart. He's got to give you a whole new body. My body was so tired this morning, I couldn't even believe it. I told my wife, I said, I need you to pray for me. I don't know what's going on in here. But someday I'm going to have a glorious body like unto His own. And I'm going to be able to fully enjoy Him. And I believe that that's what it is. I think He's encouraging me in these things of the Lord, and He's bringing me into glories and fellowship with Him that even my body sometimes can't even bear. And I think I'm in pretty good shape. So he's teaching me I need a new one. I don't want to get too proud of this one. All right. So he said, I'm roaring. I'm coming. I'm the lion. I'm the king. I'm going to wrap it up. And here's my glorified saints with me. Praise God. And they're in a perfect and complete agreement. All right. And when those seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. This was John again on Patmos. He's ready to write it down. He's ready to take note. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And it was so wonderful here. John is understanding these utters, this uttering of these thunders. This isn't something that's not understood by him. He understood very well. He was ready to write it. God had to specifically speak to him and tell him, don't write this down. Now, I don't know what it was. I have some thoughts. But you know, I think if I don't know exactly what they are, the Lord would probably like me to keep them between him and me too. I know it's about his love. I know it's about his purpose. I know it's about his divine plan. Even Brother Paul, he said that there were things that were not lawful for him to utter when he was taken up. Daniel, we'll read a little bit in chapter 12. God shut that up. He wasn't able to see that. Now again, I have to stop myself. I have many thoughts. But until, by the grace of God, I know it's of him, I know it's in the Word of God, that's where you stop. That's where you stop. Avoid the foolish questions. Really. See, that can get us into things that we don't want to go there. That's gotten a lot of people into whole different religions that have started up that way. Like in talking to that man, the one thing I told him is I said, now, how do you explain to me then that you're staying there in that religion? And you know in Revelation it says, to he who adds or takes away from this book, may the plagues of Egypt be on. Whether it's Catholicism and their different rules and regulations that have added on. Did Christ Jesus finish it or did he not? Well, you know how the Word of God was all compiled together, don't you? Well, I've heard a lot of stories. But you know what? I trust that Lord Jesus put it just perfectly together for me. If he wasn't God of very God, and if he wasn't the merciful, loving, wondrous Savior that wants me to enter into a full knowledge of him, I believe this is the full knowledge. I don't believe there's one thing missing. I don't believe by the grace of God there's one thing added that's not supposed to be here. And it was kind of sweet today. A brother was telling me, because they were talking about all these different Bibles and all these different things. And it kind of came full circle. And he says, well, by the way, did you know that the closest translation to the exact Hebrew, word for word, is your King James Version? Okay. Now, it's wonderful to have some other Bibles as long as they're in sync with the Word of God. It might be nice to have a different interpretation as far as a presentation of how the words are. But you know what? He's the one that reveals it to you. It's not going to be somebody translating it a certain way or this way. You know what? He wants you to know it. And if he wants you to know it, I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is open up. Like we read on Sunday. I just love that verse. We're vessels of mercy. He's prepared us to receive the exceeding riches of His glory. I think there's enough said. I think it's done. I think the only thing and the only one that can ever hinder me from not receiving the exceeding riches of His glory is right here. And it's right there in the pew with you too. You can't blame it on anybody. We're without excuse. We've got such a great cloud of witness around us. I told you many times about my dear friend. He grew up there, and there he was in fifth grade when I met him at the first time. His mom wasn't around, and I mean, she was gone. She was committed somewhere. He had no brothers or sisters. He had a stepdad that would come by once in a while to give him a little bit of money. That young man became my best friend. That young man studied the deep things of God with me. That young man had a vision that was given to him of the bride of Christ about the same age exactly that I was as well. Made good grades. didn't smoke, didn't drink, didn't do any of those things. I wonder who kept him. I have lots of people telling me why. You know, with an example like that, I don't want to hear it. I don't. Because I know the power that's out there. I feel, I hurt. I'd love to take it from you. I'd like to take it from me sometimes. But you know what? We got choices here. And the choice is very easy. By the grace of God, the power is there. And in His love, we can be delivered from anything. From anything. Is anything hard for Him? Nope. It's not. Everything's hard for me. Accept that. Everything's hard for you. But His yoke is easy, isn't it? My burden's light. That's the way I want to go. And He'll deliver you from it. Trust Him. Trust Him. Oh, praise God. All right. So he was about to write these things, and the Lord told him no. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And I appreciate that about Jesus. He's always given glory to God, isn't he? Thy will be done. Listen to this. Look to this. By the grace of God, let's be submissive. Let's be obedient. Let's quit trying to make ourselves of some reputation here. We're studying about the glory of God on Sunday morning. We're talking about in His own image from glory to glory. No reputation. Lowly. Despised. Rejected. That's the image of our Lord. It wasn't to be famous. It wasn't to draw attention. It wasn't to bring all those things. As you know, as He went on in His ministry, He quit doing the miracles because the people wanted to see the acts. He knew that. It wasn't surprising to Him. He just, in His divine plan, said, I need to show you. God can empower me to do anything. And I appreciated Him saying, and you know what, brothers? I got to leave, but I'm going to bring you a comforter by the grace of God. And you're going to do even greater things than I do. Can we ever settle into that? Can you imagine? He said, even greater things than I do, you shall do, because He, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, is going to come. Now don't sink down in that pew that far. Get your head up. But that's the power of His might that He's given to you. Do you believe it? Oh, I hope we do. I hope we do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. And again, the angel is giving praise to God, a wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that there which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And in Hebrews 6:13, if you'll turn with me there, and I appreciate again that study that the Lord gave us in the book of Hebrews. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself." Now, I love this. "And he swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the sea," everything. Everything, anything. Now, I think I know of a verse that says, without Him, nothing was made. By Him, all things consist and hold together. Do you see that even Christ Jesus is, He's God. He is God. And He is at the same time giving glory to His Father. He is also at the same time swearing by Himself that lives forever and ever too. He is taking this place. He is taking His throne. This is the one that created the heavens and the earth. This is the one, by the grace of God, everything consists and holds together. This is our Lord. Do you see how powerful He is? And yet we still doubt Him, don't we, brothers and sisters? Oh, we're fighting that good fight of faith. Been talking to a lot of ones this week. By His grace, let's keep fighting it. And we need to be hearing that Word of God. All right. "That there should be time no longer." A lot of people get confused with this one. They say, well, see, it's 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And that's not what this is talking about whatsoever. It's up. It's over. He's given man all the grace that He's going to give him. The judgment has come. Time shall be no longer. He's wrapping it up. The time of the Gentiles is done. The time to get saved, the time of the ministry of accepting Christ as Savior, he's going to wrap it up. It's judgment time. And this is the time that shall be no longer. You'll read that in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." This, again, is this first 3.5 years is done. The last 3.5 years is now on its way. The time of Jacob's trouble, that Lord is going to unleash his wrath upon this earth. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 10. We'll read a couple different verses here. And again, at the end of that seventh verse, which we just read, as it says, "As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." And in that tenth verse it says of Daniel chapter 9, "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets." Now turn over with me, if you would, to chapter 12. That's Daniel chapter 12. And I want to read verses 4 through 13. All right. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And again, up until this time, God has been revealing to Daniel all of the wonderful things, again, of symbols and types of what was revealed through the Apostle Paul and by Brother John here as he's at the Isle of Patmos. See, these are the things that could be revealed. See, Brother Daniel, again, the fallacy, and I really do say the fallacy, of thinking that the Old Testament saints could have a chance to be in that bride of Christ. It's just not there. They couldn't have the perfect vision. They couldn't have the complete vision of what God is offering us today. Daniel's a wonderful testimony of it. He wanted to see it. He wanted to have that place. He wanted to have that complete knowledge in a sense. But he didn't really know what that place was. I don't want to have you misunderstand me there, because he hadn't seen it. God had to stop it. He had to close it up. And he said, "Brother, this is what I want you to know. And there's going to be a time when I'm going to reveal it all. And that time is that age that we're in today." All right, let's keep reading. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was up on the waters of the river, 'How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, it shall be for a time." Now I wonder who this is again. I think we just read about him, didn't we? Isn't this precious how it's all coming together? How Jesus again in his wonderful perfect word brings this together. "By him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, or 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." That's the time shall be no more. He's going to wrap it up at that time. The time shall be no more. The Gentile time is over, and now it is time of judgment. "And I heard, but I understood not." This is Daniel saying. "Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." Now I'm sure he was a little bit dejected at this time, wasn't he? He got to see some wonderful stuff. And I'm just going to say that's going to be between God and him. And I know he's going to be just very more than exceeding abundantly rewarded. But I could see that I appreciate my brother's excitement, his zeal for knowing the things of God. How much more should we have excitement and zeal to know the things of God? I appreciate this many come out for Wednesday. But in a lot of ways, brothers and sisters, I would hope that we would have just as many that come out on a Sunday. This is your title deed. This is your Lord. Is there anything more important? Really? Is there anything more important? There isn't. We know that. But yet we're too busy. Or I'm too tired. Say if your natural dad, said, "Hey, look, if you can come to my house this evening, you know, I have a $1 million check for you, and I need you there at 7. I'll guarantee everybody here would be there at 6:30. The morning before. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot of money. And it's real, and I can use it today. This is priceless. Amen. The things that are not seen are forever. And you can use it today and tomorrow and forever. Amen. You're laying it up, oh my, in a bank account that, as Brother Hill said, it'll never run dry. That brother said, if it don't go dry, I'll be a millionaire. Oh, and that wasn't Brother Hill. And I appreciate that brother saying that. But you know what? It's not going to go broke. It only continues to return infinitely. And it is. It's an infinite return. And I believe that He's showing us His glory at an exceeding rate. Just like they found that this universe is expanding at an increasing rate. They don't even know understand how it does that. Anything that's expanding has to expand at a decreasing rate. That was the law. Didn't you know that? That was Einstein's great mind. He said, it's got to be finite. It's got to be this. These were the minds of men for years and years. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. I don't want to put my confidence in man. I don't want to put my faith in the wisdom of man. I want to put it into the Word of God. The forever. The I am. It'll always make man's wisdom foolishness. All right. And it goes in the 8th verse and it says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. All right, let's go back to our text. So again, we see that Brother Daniel, it was shut up. It was hidden from him. All right, we'll go ahead and read the 8th through the 11th verse. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. It said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, knead it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, in this 8th through the 11th verse, this is truly this little book, this scroll, again that we saw in chapter 5, is the redemption plan. The redeemed by the kinsman, I have a note here, who met all the conditions. I think you remember, if you know your word, the kinsman was found in as Boaz, and he redeemed it for Ruth, didn't he? This is a precious portion of Scripture here, and this was an exciting study for me this week, especially in these verses, where it says there in the 8th verse, and the voice which I heard from heaven speak unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Now we saw a few chapters back that book was not open. It was sealed. And John again was very distraught. And the brother that knew the plan, the glorified saint, one of the four living ones, said, oh man, there's nothing to worry about here. The Lamb is here. And just like He is today, there's nothing to worry about here, brothers and sisters. The Lamb is here. Got a problem tonight? The Lamb is here. Praise God. And He's worthy. He's worthy for everything. He's God of very God. Praise His name. But this speaks of redemption's plan. And this speaks again of the book of redemption that we read about in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. In Leviticus 25, and I don't want you to turn there, but I'll just make these notes to you. It's wonderful that in Leviticus, it talks about there's three redemptions that were very important at that time that God brought out. The redemption of the wife, the redemption of the servant, and the redemption of land. There were three, okay? And just stay with me on this and remember the wife, the servant, and the land. In that, and the meaning, first of all, was with the wife. If a wife's husband had passed away, the brother would come to the wife, his sister-in-law, I guess you'd say, and he would wed her. And they would, if it be possible, and they would be wed and have children to continue on the name of the brother who had passed away. So that's how the redemption of the wife took place. Then there was the redemption of the servant. If a man got into debt too much with somebody, he sometimes became his servant. Just so happened to be that way. Yep. He had to pay a debt. And in that debt, he either had to work 6 years to be loosed, or if he had a kinsman, meaning a relative, he could come and he could pay that debt for him and free him. The third one was the land. Land in the same way, basically. If somebody got into debt and they had to pay it back, or they lost the land to the person that they owed the debt to, the wonderful thing about how God had set that up, it wasn't forever that he would lose that. It was a scroll and it would be sealed, and there was a seal upon that scroll. And basically they would call that, in a sense, a mortgage. It was a mortgage upon the property. And it would sit there. And it would sit there, but the man always had, that lost it, had the chance to redeem that land, to get that land back. Whether he could work to make the monies to do that, or if he had a kinsman, if he had a relative that would come and pay that debt for that piece of land. At the time that the land was paid for, redeemed, back to the original owner that had lost it, he would stand before everybody with that scroll. And he would open that seal. And there would be no more mortgage upon that. It would be opened and it would be done. That is your Redeemer. That's the redemption that he's given to you. The precious thing about the wife and the servant and the land is we're now here at the 3.5 year period. We're at the middle of the tribulation, standing right here in chapter 10, ready for the seventh trumpet to blow. The wife has already been taken, hasn't she? Isn't that wonderful? And the servant, for the most part, all the other ones, the innumerable multitude, the 144,000. But I'm going to tell you, there's some that are still remaining out there at this time. The ones that are found under the altar, they go into the great tribulation a certain time before they're dying and taken back up, are taken up into heaven. Okay? But the biggest thing that's still not done as of yet is the land. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now, we know that Adam's fall, the sin that he partook, it came upon all of us. And at that same time, too, there was a curse that was put upon this earth. And let's read verse 17. And this is God speaking to Adam. And he said, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." This earth has a curse upon it because of sin. And it's very evident. If you have children, it's really evident. And we're fighting by the grace of God. And I pray for parents here today. You know, I love my babies, and I know you love your children as well, too. And sometimes it's hard for me not to get emotional about it, because I know that it's a time, and it's a tough time. It's a wicked time. The evil of men is waxing worse and worse. It's here. But I know that He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know by His grace He protects the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that protection's complete. And it is. So I don't need to worry. I just need to pray even harder, I believe. And that's just God puts on my heart for that. But again, this land, this earth, the prince of the power of the air, it's Lucifer. He's here. He's on a chain, in a sense. And God will obviously loose him at this time when he completely casts him out of heaven. Cast him out of petitioning before him. I'm sure he kind of getting tired of that. He says, Satan, you got to go. And he's going to cast him about on this earth, and there's going to be a complete fury of him. But this is the last redeeming thing that Christ, in his redemption plan, this really mystery of God, which will go on at this time, sin has to be cleansed. And it's going to be cleansed. These ones that are mocking God today, these ones that are here in this world that are just spreading such hatred, the ones that are over there that, again, I think of that Islam, that religion of hate, and that's exactly what it is. It's going to be cleaned. It is. And it's going to be cleaned right there. And there's going to be all those that are in that and with them. And it's not, like I say, just that. It's just spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the wormwood that's already here, that's in the waters. But it's going to be so rampant. But God is going to clean it. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But back into verse 8, it says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. And he said, Go and take the book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth." And so personally to us, brothers and sisters, this word is always open to us. His redemption plan is ours. It's for everyone. He said, "I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth." It's open. He opened it. And He has opened it to us in the fullness of His glory. But by His grace, we need to step in and partake with Him. But it's open. And it's in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Now, I don't believe there's many more scripture in the Word of God that so clearly tells you that if you'll feed on the Word of God and you'll really ingest it, you're going to be tried. He's going to try you. And it's the trying of your faith is more precious than gold tried in the fire. Those are the things by the grace of God, as Brother Ty again reminded me so many years back. Well, overcomers need things to overcome. That's right. You know, and I was listening to a wonderful athlete. I'm sure many of you know of Barry Sanders. He's a wonderful running back for the Detroit Lions. I love to watch him. I think it was Oklahoma State University. And just such an incredible, gifted athlete. And a sweet Christian man as well, too. But they were talking about how when he would run that ball, and he wasn't a very large man. He's a very small man. Very quick man. They said he was like trying to catch your shadow out there. And he'd make you look pretty foolish and stupid as he'd run that ball. But I thought it was so wonderful as he was talking to this man that was interviewing him. You know, he said, Barry, when you get the ball, and you know, I think he's about 5'7", maybe on a good day. If he's got big pumps, he might be about 5'5 or 5'6 in real life. But they said, you know, Barry, when you get that ball, and you know, there's some men out there, I mean, they're, you know, 6'5 and 6'7 and 6'8, and they weigh 300 and 400 pounds. He said, doesn't that make you fear? I mean, you know, don't you just asphyxiate it? And when you see him, are you trying to do this? He says, man, all my eyes are on is that goal line. He says, I got my eye on that. Those are just figments that come into play. And he said, when I'm moving, I'm just looking at that. And as I get towards that, I know I'm going to score. And that just really spoke to me. See, he's not affixed on the foe. A lot of Christians get affixed on the foe, don't they? They almost give devil the praise. Don't do that. God created everything. He even created you. And I know you got a purpose there. But I'm in the presence of the throne. And when I'm in presence of the throne, you're a defeated one. You're totally defeated in my life. You have no ruling on me. You have no reigning on me. Your head is completely under the heel. And that's fact. Now that's the glory that you can live. That's the promise and the very power that God has given us. That we don't need to succumb to that enemy. But brothers and sisters, it comes from fighting a good fight of faith, doesn't it? It's a good fight. Many times we get tired. I was discussing with a lady today about even raising kids. You know what? It's easy to say, well, whatever. Isn't that? The easy thing to do is to comply. The easy thing to do in the moment is just to let it go. And it is. The problem with that, though, is the compounding moments of letting it go, what it accumulates in. And it's a fact. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Don't ever leave that last part of that verse out. You live in sin and defeat. All things are not working together for your good. Christ Jesus did not call His children. His purpose is not for His children to dwell in sin and defeat. Do you know that? Is that the call of His purpose in your life? Then the things that are working for your life in that is just going to be chaos and a mess. And it'll be working together for chaos and mess. And it'll compound in chaos and mess. You can't fool God. There's a perfect plan. It's true. You get burdened for people. I get burdened for myself when I'm trying to negotiate with God in that way. See, but a repentant heart, by the grace of God, can take everything and all that mire, and it can begin to work together for your good. Now, isn't that the beauty of the Lord? See, only God can do that. But see, we got to get to the point where we set it down at His feet and say, Lord, I'm finished. I've prepared the mess. Here you go. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. I really am sorry. But you take it now. All right? And brothers and sisters that know of other brothers and sisters that have prepared that mess, cover them and pray for them. Because if you don't, you just entered right into their mess. Did you know that? It's on you. See, I want to be above it. By the grace of God, bring my brother above it. All right. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. I'm going to tell you, whatever God says is so, is so. If you're going to go with Him, as the Lord encouraged us the other day, and I've heard Him say this to me when I've been sitting in the midst of a trial and in the midst of my weakness, and the Lord's talking to me. He said, didn't you say you wanted to go? Amen. Didn't I hear you right? Did you say, I will go? I said, I'll go. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Let Him let you rise above it. Let Him let you just bring you completely over it. And understand truly that, you know, these are things that are going on. And they mean everything. They really do. But at the same time, it's all about winning Him. And it's just part of the plan. And when I'm just in His part of the plan, He can give me that peace that passes understanding. And let me glow in it. Let me glory in it. No matter what it is. Are you really starting to get where Brother Paul was? He says, I glory in my infirmities. Amen. I'm giving you a little hint for Sunday. Oh, that's a mighty glory. I'm starting to understand He wasn't crazy. He wanted the very power of Christ on his life. The very power of Christ. I want the very power of Christ on my life. How about you? Do you really want it? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night listening to me if you didn't. All right. And then it says, and he said unto me, well, also I want to just mention this as well too. We understand that the Word of God divides. And that is going to divide us. You understand. When we eat that Word, when it works effectually in our life. I appreciate so much though at the same time of, yes, there's division. Yes, there's sadness and things that God is parting me from. I don't take myself away from things. I hope you don't do it that way. The change comes from the inside out. God will separate you. The Word of God separates you. And that's a beautiful thing. It'll take those things that you used to think were so much enjoyment and pleasure that were really robbing your life. And you know what? It just is like, you know, Lord, those are just growing dim to me. I understand that's just a dead thing to me. I have no appetite for that anymore. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And it's Him that took it away. It wasn't me. See, that's the problem with people when they try to do it. They haven't gotten over it. They haven't gotten the victory. And they certainly haven't given God the glory. We need to magnify Him in that glory. And there is a difference. And as you walk with God, you'll know that difference. Let Him take it from you. Let Him convict you. And if you have something hanging on you, pray about it. I'm telling you, He will deliver you from it. And He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And this word, praise God, was for us. And notice in this verse that we must first feast on the Word before we could ever have a testimony, before we could ever have a ministry, before we could ever remove the mote from the brother's eye. I need to get my own mote out of there first. We need to know the Word. You want to be a blessing to somebody? Know the Word. You want to really be a motivating life in your children? You want to really love your wife as Christ loved the church? Let the Word of God work in your life. That's where I go back again with some that have said a lot of different things. Well, you know, how do I do this? Well, sure, we need to be attentive. Sure, we need to be all these things. But again, brothers, I'm just telling you, you start loving your wife as Christ loved the church, she's going to love you. She will love you. That will teach you how to be attentive. That will teach you how to prefer her before yourself. That will teach you to speak kind words. That will teach you to give due benevolence to her. His love covers a multitude of sin. His love covers a multitude of husband stupidity. His love covers me. Amen. All right, I love you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for bringing us here this evening. Thank you again for your Word and your truth. And Lord, help us to, again, you just look so forward to your coming. Don't let us be just caught in that rut. You know, God, lift us out of it. Let us not be caught looking at the waves. Let us not be caught looking at the things of this earth, Lord God. Let our affection be set upon You. Help us to just set our heart's affection on You, because that's where the treasure lies. We understand that this is moth stuff. This is corruptible stuff. This is stuff that rusts, that stuff that is going to be taken away. We're not going to take any of this stuff with us. Help us to know that You have laid aside and up for us the exceeding riches of Your grace and Your glory. God, let it be real. Let it be something that we go after. And I thank You and I thank You and I thank You for that vision. I thank You that it's reality, and I thank You that in Your love and grace You can put that in our lives. Praise Your name. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.